Continuing on with marketing and promoting your book with Amazon advertising, this is going to be the second part in a three-part series. Last week, we talked about the very basics, the Amazon advertising 101, the things that you need to know in your foundation before you can kind of progress on. Well, here's the next natural step in what I like to call research ads. I'm not sure what research ads are. Well, that's okay, because I'm going to really break this down for you in today's episode. So make sure that you stay tuned.
Learn how to publish profitable books and build an unstoppable author brand with indie author and self-publishing coach, Dale L. Roberts. This is the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast.
What's happening? It's Dale here, and I'm just tickled to death. You took a little bit of time out your day to spend a little bit of time with me to talk about my favorite thing in self-publishing books. And we're continuing on in a three-part series about Amazon advertising underneath this whole series of marketing and promoting your books. This podcast would not be possible without the support of folks like you listening in and, of course, sponsors like Pro Writing Aid. Today's podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pro Writing Aid. Pro Writing Aid is the only platform that offers world-class grammar and style checking combined with more in-depth reports to help you strengthen your writing. Get free access or 20% off premium access when you visit the sponsor link of dalelinks.com/prowritingaid. Folks, I was just sharing with the folks over on twitch.tv/selfpublished where I record the podcasts every week prior to you listening to this through all the various platforms like Apple, Google Play Books, and all that. And I said to them, you know, most instances whenever I have sponsorships, the sponsors come to me. They typically come to me in some capacity. Pro Writing Aid was the exception to the rule. I actually reached out to them because I really do love their product. I use their product. I bought Lifetime Access about a year ago and fell madly in love with them and have been using them ever since. And you know that I was probably even for the longest time just a diehard Grammarly fan, but to be honest with you, I really like Pro Writing Aid so much better. So if you were to go and use that sponsor link at dalelinks.com/prowritingaid and use that 20% off, if you got the discretionary expense, I highly recommend pick up access to the Lifetime license. I know what I'm talking about half the time. And when you get that lifetime license, the nice thing is that is literally like having like a couple of years of Grammarly. Okay, you could just go ahead and save that money from now on because all you're going to have to do is get that lifetime license. You're set. But let's say you're like, no, I don't want the lifetime license. Well, you always get the monthly or the annual plans, which are just dirt cheap. It's really good, especially with the 20% off. All right, folks, now that we've paid the bills, I want to, of course, lead everything here with a fair warning. Do not invest what you cannot stand to lose when you are doing paid advertising. Paid ads are never guaranteed, no matter who tells you what and no matter what course they're trying to shill. I'm not trying to sell a course today. In fact, I'm hoping to give you enough information to make you slightly dangerous, but enough to get it to where you're informed and can take the necessary steps forward to start to leverage this amazing avenue of Amazon advertising. Now, I'm not going to gush over Amazon advertising right now because I've talked about them in previous episodes here. In fact, you can get the very basics of Amazon advertising if you go back to episode 90 of the podcast, and you're going to find all that you need to know. So we're going to keep pushing forward, pretending like you actually listened to that podcast. If you didn't, pause this podcast right now, go back and listen to episode 90 so that way you're on track here with me. All right, now that everybody's on track, there's three ad types we need to be aware of. I'm going to work my way backwards so that way we can kind of just address the things, the first things that we really won't be touching on. Lock screen ads. Lock screen ads work like this. When a user has a Kindle device, they typically will have an ad served to them on their, essentially their screensaver. So when they have their thing on standby, it has some type of an ad popped up there. And then when they go to activate their Kindle device, it will ask them if they would like to get that book. Lock screen ads are interesting. I am not the biggest fan of lock screen ads, but they do work for some folks. If you've got a deeper budget, if you got more discretionary expense, lock screen ads might be the solution for you. For most indie authors, it's not. The reason is I find that most instances with lock screen ads, you're getting served your ad to a potential customer that may or may not be interested. For instance, I get a ton of romance books served to me on my lock screen ads. And by the way, I've got 3 different Kindle devices. Please do not judge me. Now I'm down to 2 because I gave my Oasis away to my mother-in-law. But it kind of tells you that the targeting is not on point. I don't buy romance books. I don't read romance books. But for whatever reason, they decide to give me romance ads. So it tells me that lock screen ads aren't quite as sophisticated as we'd like to think they would be. Next one is sponsored brands. Now, sponsored brands is fairly interesting and new. What you're going to do as an author, if you've got a deeper backlog of books, you can actually put together what's considered a sponsored brand ad. Now, you'll find, say, for instance, you search up a specific niche in the Kindle store. The ad for a sponsored brand will be at the very top. It'll be almost in an entire like horizontal panel, and it'll have numerous books available and some type of ad copy of some sort. So when I go to do my sponsored brand, I would do, say, Dale L. Roberts, and it would have my Amazon self-publisher books all the way across on this specific horizontal brand, sponsored brand ad. And these are relatively new. Again, much like lock screen ads, I would recommend this for those that have more discretionary budget and have some more experience in Amazon ads. For now, assuming that you aren't very familiar or you haven't had good success with the very next product type, or excuse me, ad type, then you know you're gonna want to kind of put a pin in sponsored brand to later. And especially, like, say for instance, if you're a new author and you only have one book, there's really no reason to go with sponsored brand just yet. This is for people with a little bit more of a backlog, 3 maybe more books. All right. Next type of ad is sponsored product ads. Now, this is where we're going to go ahead and hang our hat on. We're going to be talking about this today and also going into next week's podcast. For the sake of brevity and ease, we're going to focus on this ad type. Any of the other ad types, sorry, we're not going to cover it because this is not like it's going to be a full course. I just want to kind of give a good overview for everybody. There's 2 types of targeting when you set up a specific sponsored brand ad, or excuse me, sponsored product ad. I'm starting to confuse everybody. You got automatic targeting. Now, automatic targeting works like this, that you give the steering wheel over to Amazon. And based on your book or your product, they're going to look at keywords and the categories and some of the copy and try to figure out what you best match. It's going to figure out, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and put this with these type of keywords and these categories and these products. And it's going to try to serve you on over there. You're letting them do all the work. Just stand back and let them kind of do things. Automatic ads are not bad. I used to be really like, don't do automatic ads. But to be honest with you, ever since they rolled out search terms reports, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit, search terms reports was a game changer because before with automatic ads, you really weren't sure what was going on. And there was no way to kind of go in and go, okay, where am I losing money? And you can continue to lose money on a specific keyword, category, or product because there was no way to really know what you needed to pause or get rid of. Now with search term reports, you got an automatic ad, it's not pulling its weight on a specific keyword to keep serving on out there. You can take that keyword, toss it in a negative targeting, going to talk about that in a little bit here, and then the automatic ad's no longer going to serve it over towards that keyword, product, or category. Manual targeting. Now, this is my favorite of all of them. Manual targeting gives you just a little bit more control. It gets it to where you have more of a granular approach, and you can use keywords, categories, or products. You have the steering wheel at this point. Amazon's no longer in charge other than determining relevancy for your particular product. If you didn't know about relevancy, you're going to want to go back and listen to the last episode. Next comes the campaign bidding strategy. There are 3 types that you're going to be focused on. Dynamic bids, down only. This is the one I recommend most, and especially for newbies. You're going to need to bid on the specific keyword, product, or category that you're going to choose. Let's say, for instance, it's 25 cents. I'm just going to say as an example. This point, you're telling Amazon, I'm willing to spend 25 cents for every time someone clicks on my specific ad, or less. So the nice thing about dynamic bids down only, if they discover that for some reason you can get your ad out for considerably cheaper, they're going to do that. If you can get a cheaper placement and get the same results, they're going to try that. Now, it's going to be algorithmic. It's going to be an algorithmically decided type thing. So it's not like you can be able to go, well, I hope they do 10 cents. It's going to be up to them. It's kind of like, I'm going to trust you on this one. Now, I kind of like it because every now and then I've done a bid, let's say for 10 cents, and then it came out 8 cents. Hey, I saved 2 cents per click. I'll take that all day long. The next type of bidding strategy, and this is one that I'm going to recommend for only advanced advertisers and people with deeper budgets. Dynamic bids up and down. This is going to burn through your budget like crazy. Let's say my bid's at 25 cents again. At this point, I say, hey, if you can bid down, go lower than that, that's great. But if you got to go above it to get a better result, then please do that. And sometimes that will really, really hurt. Now, I've done dynamic bids up and down before and I've had some great results and sometimes some not so great results. Depends largely on your daily budget. We're going to discuss that in just a second here. The next option is fixed bids. Now, with fixed bids, you say 25 cents, that's it. I want my bid there. Don't move it down. Don't move it up. It's 25 cents, period. End of story. And then last but not least, there's an option called adjust bids by placement. And you can take a specific percentage and add on to that. So let's say, for instance, I say 25 cents is my fixed bid. But if I can get first page placement, I'd be willing to increase my spend by 25%, 50%, 100%. And it will increase that if you can get first page placement. I used to play around with this, but I found that it burnt through my daily budget like crazy. And it got the same results than not using it. Adjust bids by placement. I'm going to say this again. It's much like the dynamic bids up and down. It's for advanced advertisers only, as well as those with more of a budget. All right, now we've got the ad formats. There's two specific types of ad formats. There's custom, which custom is where you are allowed to have a couple lines of ad copy that you toss into your specific ad. So when it's served up to somebody, they got something more enticing them than just your cover and your title. They might see something like, this is the best werebear shapeshifter romance book in the world. Read it today. That's horrible ad copy, by the way, folks. But you're allowed up to 150 characters. Now, you're going to want to go through and read a little bit about what you can and cannot use. So for instance, it's a given, you can't use curse words. And if you're in the health and fitness niche, you can't make a bunch of really outrageous claims. You can't be like, this cured me of COVID. No, they're going to shoot you down immediately. There's the other type also known as standard. Now for me, I like standard. It's probably one of my favorite ones because there's no thought process. With custom ads, you got to sit down and really think out your 150 characters to where it will draw in somebody that's going to purchase your book. With standard, it just shows your cover. It shows the title of your book. People will buy it. Maybe they won't. You're just kind of banking on the thought that, well, maybe my cover is good enough that it'll get people to click and then get people to look at my book description and then get them to buy. Or in some instances, you just jump right over to the buy process. All right. There are three bidding types. Suggested, default, and custom. Suggested is Amazon's way. Anytime you're bidding, if you use suggested, they're going to look at other successful campaigns that people were able to win the bid for a particular keyword. Because keep in mind that when you bid for a keyword product or category, it's much like an auction in real time. But it doesn't go to the highest bidder. Instead, it goes to the most relevant bidder with the highest price, the highest bid, excuse me. Relevancy is, of course, determined on what's going to be the product that will most likely end in a sale that's going to make people happy. And so this real-time auction is ever-changing. It's always changing. So 1 second, you could probably crush it on a given keyword, and the next, you get nothing. You get not a single impression, not a single click. Suggested is Amazon's way of saying how much money you got in your pocket. They're wanting you to go in, and they want you to kind of compete against everybody else. They're giving you that suggested bid, and they're going, hey, how much money you got in your pocket? And it is ludicrous, ludicrous for you to spend so much money on one click and burn through your entire profit. Because remember, not all clicks lead to sales. Not all clicks lead to sales. Maybe if you're good, a good ratio would be 1 out of every 10 clicks. But you're not getting 1 out of every 10 clicks, and you're doing your bid at $1.25, like Amazon might suggest for a keyword, and your book's profiting, say, $1.25, you're in the hole by the time you get 10 clicks. That's a big loss leader, and you better have a nice back end on your book. There's the other two. There's default and custom bid. I recommend you always set your default about the same amount as you do your custom bid. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do here for the research ads. Yes, I'm still getting the research ads here, folks. But always try to set your default, get that set, and then automatically go to your custom and set it the same. So that way, if for some reason you add keywords, products, or categories later on, you're not going to automatically default over to, say, 75 cents, which usually is what it starts out at. Last but not least, there's negative keyword and product targeting. As I mentioned before, how this functions is, this is a way to tell Amazon, do not advertise my book to X, Y, and Z. So if there's a specific keyword or a specific audience you do not want it served out to, you're going to tell them that. So as an example, let's say I put out a home workout plan for men. Maybe I go into the negative keyword targeting and I put in for women because it's just for men. And I don't want my book served out to women because obviously if they click on that, they go, oh, well, this is for men. I'm out money. I'm losing money. And conversely speaking, if I was doing it for children, I wouldn't want this targeted for senior citizens. Make sense? You're going to use later on what's called the search terms report to find out specific keywords, products, or categories that are losing you money, and then you drop them into the negative targeting because that's going to save you a lot of money, and it'll also get it to where you optimize your ad to where it performs better. Now, let's transition over to research ad strategy. I talked about the research ad, I led into it, and you guys are all like, man, when's he going to get to that point? This is going to be the fun part. How it functions is you just want to discover what is the low-hanging fruit. What's going to get you the click and the buy for the least amount of money for the best results? Here's how you're going to set it up. This depends on your budget. Do not set this up if you can't stand to lose it. Daily budget, $1 to $10 budget per day. Super cheap, embarrassingly cheap. I like to do $10 per day, but I have that discretionary budget. But if you're really strapped for cash, you might want to put it towards a dollar, maybe $5 tops. Cost per click. I used to say 10 to 15 cents, but kind of studying a little bit more and finding out even from Amazon, a lot of people are always bidding right around every five. So increments of five. So 5, 10, 15, 20. So I kicked it up to 11 cents to 16 cents. Feel free to kick it down to 9 to 14 cents if you want to. You're going to load up and you're going to do manual keywords if you can. I like doing manual keywords. In the event you don't want, you can always do automatic and you're going to follow some of these rules I'm going to tell you here. But you're going to do keywords and products. You're going to have 100 to 500 keywords and products. This allows for a little bit of wiggle room. I used to say 1,000, but the problem is, let's say that your research ad takes off and you filled all 1,000 slots. Well, you're screwed. You're going to have to start another campaign and hope for the best. And that's the thing is that with ads, as they start to pick up some momentum, they picked up some relevancy, and the Amazon advertising machine goes, ooh, this ad's working really nicely, so we're going to go ahead and keep pushing it. And then you're stuck. But you're going, like, wait a second. Allow for wiggle room. Where do I find if something's good to add to the campaign? Because I only have 100 to 500 keywords, products, categories. You're going to go into your search terms report, and you're going to look at it daily. It will store upwards of 60 days at a time. So you're going to want to make sure you back that up at least weekly to where you're finding, okay, what's creating a good conversion and what's not getting a conversion. Note any keywords or products converting to sales. Those are the ones you're going to want. You're going to scrape those eventually and drop them right into your campaign again. Go with the lowest bid and increase slowly to just keep your foothold with that specific keyword. Run new campaigns based on your findings. So if you got the automatic keywords or the automatic report, you can always get all the keywords, product, and categories from those. Start up new campaigns from that and then build off from there. If you're seeing something that's not converting very well, it's poorly doing it, just add them to the negative keyword or product targeting. That simple. I'm going to give you my final thoughts here, folks, as we wrapped up today's podcast. Special thanks to our sponsors, Pro Writing Aid. The more you use Pro Writing Aid, the more you grow as a writer. Do so when you visit dalelinks.com/ProWritingAid. Get free access or 20% off premium access. Again, dalelinks.com/ProWritingAid. Final tip here, folks. Research ads are meant to find the low-hanging fruit. It's not to make you independently wealthy. It's enough to kind of make it dangerous. Get it to where you can kind of understand things a little bit better and how your book performs on the Amazon advertising platform. Run a few campaigns at the same time for more effective results. And also, it's a good idea to separate your campaigns based on keyword types, products, and categories. So let's say you got a keyword type, and we're going to talk more about this next week, that's broad. You put them all in a broad keyword campaign. Maybe your next one's going to be an exact keyword campaign. And the next one will be a phrase match campaign. And by separating this out, it makes it easier for you to make an informed decision on whether to pull the plug or increase the budget and really put more fuel on the fire. Hey folks, I talk a lot more about this inside my book, Promotional Strategies for Books. You can get that over at dalelinks.com/ASP. Subscribe or follow me on your preferred podcasting platform and leave me a review. I do appreciate each and every single one of you doing that. In the meantime, this has been Self-Publishing with Dale, and I will chat with you next week a little bit more about Amazon advertising. I'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. Visit us at selfpublishingwithdale.com for more information on how you can level up your publishing business. Also, get a rock-solid action plan for your next book launch when you sign up for our email newsletter at selfpublishingwithdale.com/checklist. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.